This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
Your forgiveness,
Jesus, oh, I love you, I love you.
You've been so good to me,
because you care.
Where would I be without you, Lord?
Jesus, I love you, I love you,
Lord. I love you, Lord, I love
Jesus,
you,
Jesus, I love you, I love you.
Yes, I love you because you first.
Jesus, I love you, I love you.
I love you, Lord,
because you care.
Hallelujah. Tell him that you love him.
Thank you, Jesus.
Tell him that you love him. Tell him that you love him. Cause he's been so faithful. He's been so good. Even when you weren't good to yourself, he was good to you. You ought to tell him, Lord, I love you, Lord. In spite of me, Lord, you love me, I love you, Lord.
I love you, I love.
Tell him that you love him, tell him that you love him. Tell him that you love him, cause he cares for you. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We bless you.
Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need you. I need you. Jesus, I need you. I need you.
everything in our hearts, we love you. You're so wonderful. You're so loving. You're so kind. You're so faithful. Lord, we love you. And thank you, oh God, that you love us. Not because of, but in spite of us. Thank you that you love us. So much so that you gave us another day. And Lord, we thank you for this day as we celebrate your goodness, your mercy, your grace, your faithfulness, how great you are. Have mercy if we have not loved you like we should. Have mercy if we have not received your love and applied your love. Have mercy upon us, O God. But we thank you for loving us enough that you sent your son, Jesus, to die for all of our sins. Thank you, Lord, for what you've already done. If you never do another thing, you've done enough. And we bless you. We need to hear from you now, God. And we know that you love us enough to give us your word. And we receive your word now by faith that's going to help us, lift us, enlighten us, empower us, make us better for you. To you be the glory. To you be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, bless the Lord wherever you may be this morning. God is great, and he's greatly to be praised. What a wonderful day it is to be amongst the living in the land of the dying. This is the day the Lord has made, and we ought to rejoice and be glad in it. Are you glad to be here this morning? Are you glad to be in worship one more time? Amen. Amen. Good morning, all of you saints of God, family of God. We thank God for his presence. We thank God for this beautiful day that he has blessed us with. To all of our ministers and to our staff, official body, and to all of you who are worshiping with us virtually and physically, we thank God for your presence today, and we thank God for his presence. What a wonderful opportunity we have to praise a wonderful God who has been so good to us. Amen. We thank God for all of you, and we appreciate your prayers, your support, your continued blessings that God is bestowing upon all of us. We are blessed people this morning, and we all not have a sad story to tell, because God has shown himself faithful to all of us. On your best day, he's still worthy. On your worst day, he is still worthy of all the praise, all the glory, and all of the honor. Amen. Amen. It's good to see you this morning. I pray you're glad to be seen. Amen. Amen. Many other places you could be right now, and we thank God that he is allowing us this space of eternity called time to celebrate his goodness and to give him glory. Amen. Y'all are on fire today. I can just feel it. It's oozing all over this parking lot, all oozing all over social media, how on fire for God you all are. And I'm going to ask y'all to try to calm yourselves down. Try to calm down. Don't get too excited, because I still got to try to figure out how to preach through all this praise and all this excitement, all this passion and zeal that we have this morning. Amen. Such a beautiful day. God has blessed us. Mr. Moss said in her prayer, storms came in nighttime, very dangerous storms, and God spared us yet again. And it could have been so much worse. And we just so many different ways that God has made a way for us, and we ought to be so grateful this morning for all the ways God has made. Amen. Amen. To God be the glory. We come today with a very specific assignment to share. Last week was Resurrection Sunday, and so we know that Resurrection Sunday is a day on the calendar for many of us. And so the Lord has sent us on assignment to maybe repeat some things from last week, from that Passion Week, so we can get past the nice dress clothes and from the Easter eggs and really hear what God is saying concerning our walk with him and what we're really here for and how good God has been to us. I want to tell you today, God's been good to you. God has been good to all of us. And you ought to testify. And maybe today we don't know what we've been saved from. And so that's my assignment today, to share with us what we've been saved from. So if you would, get your Bible and turn with me to the book of Exodus, chapter number 12. There's a word the Holy Spirit has assigned us to share. This would be probably a Good Friday sermon, but yet it's always a good to talk about what's been done for us. Exodus chapter 12, and we want to dig in at verse number 21 and a few of the following and see what God has to say, and we'll let you go for the day. Is that all right? Amen. Exodus chapter 12, beginning at verse number 21. And scripture reads somewhat like this. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation, but still God's word. Exodus chapter 12, verse 21 reads, "Then Moses called all the elders of the Israel together and said to them, 'Go, pick out a lamb or a young goat for each of your families and slaughter the Passover animal. Drain the blood into a basin. Then take a bundle of hyssop branches and dip it into the blood. Brush the hyssop across the top and sides of the door frames of your houses, and no one may go out through the door until morning. For the Lord will pass through the land to strike down the Egyptians. But when he sees the blood on the top and the sides of the doorframe, the Lord will pass over your home. He will not permit his death angel to enter your house and strike you down. Remember, these instructions are a permanent law that you and your descendants must observe forever. When you enter the land the Lord has promised to give you, you will continue to observe this ceremony. Then your children will ask, 'What does this ceremony mean?' And you will reply, 'It is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, for he passed over the houses of Israelites in Egypt. And though he struck the Egyptians, he spared our families.'" When Moses had finished speaking, all the people bowed down to the ground and worshiped. So the people of Israel did just as the Lord had commanded through Moses and Aaron. And that night at midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn sons in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn son of Pharaoh, who sat on his throne, to the firstborn son of the prisoner in the dungeon. Even the firstborn of their livestock were killed. Pharaoh and all his officials and all the people of Egypt woke up during the night, and loud wailing was heard throughout the land of Egypt, and there was not a single house where someone had not died. We'll stop right there. The grass withers, the flowers fade thereof, but the word of our God shall last and stand forever. I want to tag this text this morning. I need the blood on my house. I need the blood on my house. To the child of God today, I need to make this statement, to maybe make it as a theme for this message, that Google and technology, know-how, street smarts has provided us for with several solutions to many of life's problems. If you're sick, go to a doctor. If you got plumbing problems, find you a plumber. If you need information, look on Google or go to the library. For pretty much any problem or issue that you and I have, there is a simple and easy to get to solution, that there's somebody who can help you with your problem. But I need to make this statement to all of us today, that in the broad scope of things, that when it comes to you and I, there is no solution for God. I think we focus too much on the devil, about the devil being busy, about the devil attacking, about the devil on his job. But let me serve notice this morning that there is no answer for God. You can speak a word to the devil. You can pray and lay hands on the devil. You can resist the devil and he'll flee. But none of us have an answer for God. And so to find yourself at odds with God is a very scary position to be in. What would it be this morning to deal with the reality that you and God are not tight like y'all should be? What happens when we understand the grace of God, but none of us want to deal with the wrath of God? And I come this morning to be honest with you today that there is a wrath of God. And the blessing of it is, because of the blood on our house, the people who believe in God will not have to suffer the wrath of God. There is a death that is coming. And Hebrews says that it's appointed unto man once to die. After this, the judgment. And the judgment is the time frame when neither you nor I have any chances now to get things right. You can't read a Bible then. You can't get baptized then. You can't go to church then. At that point, you and I will be judged by our stewardship and by our faith. But if the blood of Jesus is on your house, then some judgment that would come to you will not come to you, that you will be seen as saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, because the blood is on your house. And I'm excited about that today. You may not be, but I'm happy for me. And I might be happy for two or three of you who can testify today that, thanks be to God, the blood is on my house. I'm not going to hell because the blood is on my house. I will see Jesus because the blood is on my house. I've got joy because the blood is on my house. And the reason why we can't celebrate that today is because we're trying to buy security for our house. We're trying to get gadgets for our house. We're trying to trim the hedges around our house. We're trying to paint our house. We're trying to make our houses look good. But without the blood being on your house is headed for destruction. And lest I forget, the house I'm talking about today is not just the mortar, not just the brick and the foundation. I'm talking about your heart. I'm talking about your soul. I'm talking about how you think. I'm talking about your mentality. I'm talking about your faith. If you don't have the blood over your life, then you are headed for eternal destruction. Now, I hear you today because I love that song. I love Pastor Charles Jenkins and this song, This Means War. And one of the parts of that song, This Means War, is I plead the blood. Yes, but see, the church folk don't really know what they're saying when they say they plead the blood. Because when you understand the blood of Jesus, you don't play with that. You don't play with the blood. And see, the reason why we're struggling today is because we're singing something we really don't know what we're talking about. We're singing something we really don't believe, because you can't plead the blood until you understand that you need the blood. And you can't plead the blood about devil and you don't need the blood about your mind. You can't plead the blood about the devil and you don't know you need the blood to deal with people. You can't talk about pleading the blood against cancer and you can't need the blood for your everyday life. So before you plead the blood, deal with the fact that you need the blood. Oh, but thanks be to God that God has prepared his people for a Passover, that whatever is coming, because there is a wrath of God that is coming. Let me challenge your theology, because some of us, because we struggle, we think that's God's wrath. Let me tell you something real quick. When God's wrath comes, you can't stand it. You would not live to tell the story about God's wrath. I'm going to say it again because y'all don't like it. Because when God's wrath comes, somebody got to die. When God's wrath comes, something got to end. When God's wrath comes, ain't nothing like it can be. When God's wrath comes, you wouldn't get the chance to sit there with your won't say amen, won't say thank you Jesus self, when his wrath comes. But the wrath of God is coming in Exodus. In Exodus chapter 12, God has given some instructions to Moses. And in our text, verse 21, these same instructions that he's given to Moses, he's giving now to the elders of the community. If you see the term community in the Old Testament, it means church in the New Testament. Anytime you see community or you see group in the Old Testament, it's a reference to the church in the New Testament. And so Moses gives this message to the elders to give to the church, who are God's people. 430 years they have been in Egyptian bondage. 430 years they have been in the wrong place. 430 years they've been living something they should not live. But God is true to his word, and God remembered the promise that he gave to Abraham, that you will be able to receive the promise and go to the promised land by faith. And so it may have taken a little time, but God is still true to his word. And after 430 years, he sends this liberator, Moses, to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. But, you know, Pharaoh likes the cheap labor he's getting. He's gotten caught up in his power and position, and he does not want to let God's people go. Can I preach it like I feel it? He doesn't want to let God's people go because it's better to keep them bound than to let them go free. And so God's people are bound, and then the problem is after 430 years, they don't even know they're bound. They're in slavery, but because they've gotten comfortable in slavery, they're happy being bound and not ready for freedom. But God is still getting ready to free God's people. And so because Pharaoh's heart is hardened, God sends plagues to try to get Pharaoh to let God's people go. He sends 10 plagues, and the text we're looking at today is the 10th plague. All these plagues were to attack the 9 or 10 Egyptian gods. Everything God sent as a plague was a god of the Egyptians to show the Egyptians that you're no more God than what God lets you be. You think your God is big, so God will attack the very thing you think is bigger than God and shut it down. There was a God of the river, and so God sent blood to the river to show the river God that you ain't in charge of the river. I am the God who's in charge of the river, and I can shut your program down. And so we're in the 10th plague. Now, what you're not going to like about this 10th plague is because the prior 9, the first 9 plagues, God did. I'm going to get in trouble. Because the 9 plagues were prior to, God did them. The 10th plague, God does, but it includes human participation. That means you and I got to do something, a part of this plague. Now, depending upon which side you on, whether or not it's a plague or a provision. I'm going to try again. Because this plague is coming toward the Egyptians. It's going to be a provision for the Israelites. But depending upon which side you on, is how you go take it. I'm trying, Lord. Depending upon which side you on, it's going to determine how you take it. So here we was last week. Here we are this week, 1 week later, and we got to shouting about he lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me. He talks with me. We shouted off that. We dressed real good last week. But now you look at us today, and we don't have the same disposition we had last week. You know why? Because some of us have not declared what side we're on. Because at the end of it all, there is a place for God to do his part, but there's also a place for us to do our part. And the problem with many of us is we have not done our part. Now, if you're waiting on God to put blood on your house, God ain't going to do it. God says, I'm giving you power to put your own blood on your own house. That point I'm not going to do. But here it is. God says, I'm passing over. I'm getting ready to kill. Ooh. I'm getting ready to kill all that's not mine. Y'all don't understand that. Because we're taking it for granted that God always going to be good to me. God always going to just fight my battles. God always just going to bless me and give me. You sitting in the shade, you sitting in the comforts of your vehicle, you sitting in the comforts of your home, and some of us have not thought about God. At any point in time, all week long, it's been everything else except for God. And God's word today is, what is your answer for me? You finding answers for them? You're finding issues for that? You're finding issues for this? But you have no answer for me. Because you can't beat God. And the wrath of God is coming. Oh, that's a frightening thought. And so God says, I'm going to take care of mine while I'm killing others. I'm going to kill. You don't want to think about that, do you? That God is getting ready to kill. And Passover reminds us that some got to die so that others may live. And there are some who go get it, and there's some who are not going to get it. But if you're one of those types today, who wants to say, I need the blood on my house, then God said, here are some things you got to do for the blood to be on your house. Now, the reason why you can't appreciate that is going to be some reasons we're going to discuss in just for a few moments. I want to list some things from the text and share with you so I can let you go home and go on about your business. But number one, if you need the blood on your house, first thing you've got to do is to commit to his plan. Yeah. You and I have got to commit to his plan because God has a plan. Here is the plan. God says, take a lamb, a unscarred, a young lamb. Take a lamb that has not been bothered. Take the best you have. Take a young lamb that has not had a chance to live and be tainted. Take a lamb and prepare it to die. For 10 days, on the 10th day, take this lamb and for 4 days examine it. Look at this lamb and make sure it's ready to be sacrificed. There's a word you don't like. But in order for the blood to be on your house, something has to be sacrificed. Okay. Something has to be sacrificed. Okay, let me break it down a little further. You're supposed to take this lamb and then kill it. Bible says that God tells the people, go get the lamb for your house. You can't worry about your neighbor's house. God's word is, deal with your house before you try to deal with somebody else's house. Because some of us are going to miss out on the blood on our house because we're too busy worrying about somebody else's house. And God says, now watch this, because you ain't going to like this. If God tells you, go get what's in your house and kill it, that means that whatever God is asking you to do, you already have. I'm going to try again. God says to Moses to tell the people, go get the lamb for your house, which means that every house has a lamb. Well, I hear you. I may not have a lamb. God said, okay, take the firstborn of the very best that you do have, because you may not have a lamb, but you got something. That means, can you handle that something in your house got to die so your household can live? Something has to go so y'all can stay. I know you ain't gonna like this. You got to give up something. And true sacrifice means that I'm giving up something I wish I could keep, but I wanna please God more, so I'm gonna give it up. I got a question for you, because you ain't gonna say amen. So let me ask this for you to think about. What or who needs to go so your house can have blessings? What or who do you need to give up so God can cover your house? It's part of his plan. It's part of his plan. And so that means don't go get wrong blood just to say you got blood. Because there's a difference between Jesus being the lamb, Jesus being a lamb, and then Jesus being your lamb. Because everybody's house looks different. Ooh, Lord, help me. Just because it's the same God don't mean it's the same need on your house. Look what he says further. Part of the plan is you got to give up something. You got to sacrifice something. Some you want to keep. We may have to put some of that music out. Maybe I get rid of some of them habits. Maybe some of this filthy stuff we watching. Maybe some Facebook time. Maybe these bombs that you're keeping around. What's got to go? Because some stuff, if you keep it too long, it becomes a curse more than a blessing. What is it that you need to kill that you might live? Now, here's going to be the danger to it if you fast forward. Some of us, because we'd rather keep it, we go die with it. That which you're trying to keep from God, is it worth you dying from God? Because you don't want to let it go. or you don't want to let them go, but it's going to kill you if you keep them. Mm-hmm. Is it worth keeping now? Because you don't want to let it go, but it's killing your house. But you got a power to kill it before it kills you. Okay, okay. That's all right. I came prepared for this. I came prepared for this. Let me just talk to y'all on Facebook. The plan also involves that you take the lamb, don't break it, because I'm going to keep the lamb and you're going to roast it and eat that tonight. Don't break bones in it. Give it to it whole. Drain the blood into a basin. Drain the blood from that lamb. Take what's in that lamb. Don't take the lamb. And now take hyssop. Hyssop branch is a brushy plant, and the liquid from the plant has some purification qualities. It's got the capability to cleanse and to purify. So you take some pure, dip it in something that had to die, and then do something with it later. Dip it with the hyssop that symbolizes your faith. Now, don't just stop there. This is God's plan, right? It's God's plan. It don't have to make sense. It's God's plan. See, I lost y'all now because you don't halfway read the Bible, and I'm saying stuff that you don't even understand. But I'm telling you this for a reason. Hear what God is saying. You got to take what you've been wanting to keep that's killing your house. You need to get rid of it. Don't break it, because I don't want you tainting it. God say, I'm going to use it. God says, drain the blood from it, because the blood of a lamb, of a pure lamb, is going to be able to bless the whole house. All right, now, that means I dip the plant in the basin. Now, I don't just keep it and say I got it. Take it, take what God is doing, take it, and now apply it. You got to do something. You got to kill it. You got to dip it. And then you got to paint it. Paint your doorpost. Paint your lintels. And now your house is covered. It's covered. Because it's going to take faith to apply what's been killed. You got to apply it. I don't care. We need to see proof. God wants to see proof that you've done what he said, and God's going to know you did what he said by what you painted outside the house. You can't be a private believer and want public blessing. If you love the Lord, ought to be a sign over your house. All right, you don't like that. Then God says that when you go in, stay in. Do not leave at all tonight. Tonight is sacrifice time. So whatever's in, better get in and stay. Whatever's out, get out and stay. But when you want your house to be covered by the blood, you got to stop this in and out business. Woo! You got to stop this. Big Mama said it like this. Get in and stay in. If you're going to come in, come in. If you're not, stay out. Stop letting those flies in my house. And Church of God, God says the blood won't matter if you keep letting folk in and out. If you belong in the house, get there and stay. Because when death comes, when God comes, he's going to take care of, he's looking at houses and not who's in it. But anything that's caught not in the house, when he comes, it's going to get caught up like everybody else. You've got to commit to something. Child of God, this time of year, symbolizes the commitment that God made to us. And we in turn ought to make a commitment to him that we want to be saved. See, it's something that God does, but it is something you and I got to do to show that if God, you're committed to me, I'm going to commit to you. I'm not going to do your plan my way. I messed you up then. Because too many of us are trying to do his plan our way. You can't do inside work outside. We got too many free agents in the body of Christ. Folks who won't make a declaration. You want to be able to say you got one foot in and one foot out. You don't want to make a commitment because of the people. And you don't make a commitment because you want to change your life. God's word to you today is, which one would you rather, dead or alive? And it's something you'll get being inside that you will not get being outside, and it's called life. They may be troublesome. They may be problematic. They may be messy, but at least we all inside. Oh, yeah. You've got to commit to his plan, and then you got to comply with his process. They complied with it because after Moses gives a word, they bow their heads and they worship. You missed it. When Moses gives the word of God, they comply by bowing their heads and worshiping. And then the Bible says they did what Moses told them to do. Y'all looking for something deep, wasn't you? I'm sorry. I thought y'all want something deep, and I ain't got nothing deep. I'm simply telling you, the people of God, because God sent a word to them that's going to help them stay alive. And because they're so grateful for a word that's going to help them stay alive, they bow their heads and worship, and then they don't just keep praising. They get up from praising and then do what God said do. I'm going to do it one more time. I'm going to give you one more chance to catch up. They shouted. Yeah, they shouted. They had good church after they got that word. But because they want to live, they got up and applied what God told them to apply. They listened and heeded and adhered to the word of God and did what God said do. And so the process begins. The Bible says that the destroyer came. Bible says the destroyer came. The people of God went and did just what Moses said do. They painted their houses with the blood, with the hyssop. They didn't use paintbrushes. They didn't use tumbleweed. They used the exact equipment God said use. You can't halfway obey and expect a full blessing. You got to do just what he said do. Stop changing God's word because you don't want to use that. If God say forgive, guess what that mean? It don't mean the one that didn't ask for forgiveness. Even if they don't ask for forgiveness, you still supposed to what? Forgive. You don't get to change the narrative. No, you don't get to do that. What about when? That ain't what God said. All right? So watch this. The destroyer came. Y'all ain't got it yet. The destroyer came, the Bible says. Y'all Bible say that? The destroyer came. I don't think y'all with me. The destroyer, the murderer, the killer came. Just like God said he would. Here's the problem. You're used to the destroyer being the devil. But in Exodus, the destroyer is God. You tell yourself the devil come to kill, steal, and destroy. But Exodus says the destroyer came, and the destroyer was God. And God, watch this, is not coming to look for Israelites. He's not coming for Egyptians. He's coming looking for uncovered houses. Here's what you got to deal with, people of God. I think y'all done tuned me out. But the good news about social media, you can get it next week if you want to. Tune in Tuesday, Wednesday, maybe you'll get it. Because y'all showing up ain't hearing it today. But here's what I need you to get about the destroyer and these houses. If everybody's indoors, how will you know who heard God? Can I be nosy and ask that question? How you gonna know? How's God gonna know who to destroy and who not to? Because you don't want God to tap the wrong house. You don't want him to get the wrong house because my neighbor the one low down, not me. It's them who the problem, not me. Ooh, that sermon sure would have helped her. I hate he missed that sermon because he sure, you was, the Lord sure was talking to him. Bible says the destroyer came and destroyed houses that were, it was only certain houses he tore up. Wait a minute. How will he know how to get the right house? It's by who applied his word. I knew it. One home. One home. Not by the houses that tithe the most. Not the house that shout the most. Not the house that speak more tongues. But the house that did what his word said do. He's looking for lamb's blood on houses. Because see, the Egyptians didn't hear the same word. Y'all missed it. Y'all so slow. Egyptians didn't show up to church. Pharaoh and the Egyptians keep telling the Hebrew God, no. Stop getting mad at folk who are really Egyptians disguised as Israelites. Because the reason we'll know whose side you're on is not how gifted you are, but how much you apply and submit and work the word of God. Y'all be looking for deep stuff. I ain't got time for that. It's who simply does what God says do. And so the destroyer came. And the destroyer is God. And the destroyer, watch this, the houses that were not covered in the blood, he went in. Yeah. And the houses that had blood over them, he passed over. I'm going to try again. The houses that did not have the blood over them, on them, he went in and killed. The houses that had the blood, he passed over. Here's my shout. Here's my shout, because thanks be to God, this is my testimony, this ain't yours, there was some stuff in my house that's not right, but because I had the blood on my house, God passed it over. He didn't come in and tear up some stuff because I let the blood cover my house. I hope I'm not the only one out here in this parking lot who can testify right now that God, I thank him that he didn't come in my house and kill me. Thanks be to God that because he saw the blood. No. That means you got some stuff in the house that ain't right, but because of the blood, you're covered. I wish I could shout real quick with about 5 covered people. I need you to give God a covered praise. I'm not perfect, but I'm covered. I mess up, but I'm covered. I got problems, but I'm covered. You want a perfect house. God's saying, that should be a perfect house. That should be a covered house. Lord, have mercy. the destroyer came and passed over the covered houses and went in and tore up the uncovered houses. Ooh. In other words, if you got faith, I'm going to pass over. If you don't believe, you got to get it. That's why I ain't worrying about the atheist no more. I'm not worried about the skeptic no more. I'm not worried about the Gnostic no more. Because God got his own way, he going to deal with those folks. I just thank him that the blood, the blood of Jesus has covered my house. You got to commit to the plan. Commit to the plan. Comply with his process. Because as he comes by, some houses get passed over. Some houses get tore down. Bible says that you start hearing some yells out of Egypt. Mm-mm. The same folks who was beating you down. Mm-hmm. Now they crying out to the same God they wouldn't hear. Even Pharaoh, Bible says, Pharaoh, while on his throne, while in your powerful position, you watching your son die. Because ain't no power greater than God's power. And because you will not submit to his word, his will, his way, you go die. So watch this, though. This is the part where we all got to really take a part in. I thought I was going to shout, but the way y'all acting, I can't shout, I got to teach it. You got to commit to his plan, comply to his process, and then you got to commemorate his protection. You got to commemorate it. Y'all wonder what's going on? Why don't our kids get excited about church? Even in Exodus, kids asking, why we got to keep doing this? Why we got to keep having church? Why we got to do this every year? I asked them when I was a kid, why I got to keep doing this? Why we got to keep showing up for this? Why do I have to pray every night? Why do I need to read my Bible? Need to be somebody tell the story. God says, commemorate this and keep it going. I'm going to make it law that y'all keep it going to remember what I did for you. So that when the next generation comes, they'll have a relationship with me because you've been told them what I did for you. Now, fast forward that to 2021. You want kids and this generation to be excited about something you ain't told them about. You've given them methods, but hadn't given them the message. You've given them programs, but not telling them the process. We feeding them cookies and punch and not giving them the bread of life. And now they're dying and don't want them to do what you're God, and you frustrated. And then you want to bring them when they in jail. Bring them when they sick. But if you would take them when they 2 or 3 years old, baby, the reason you here is because God has blessed us. I want you to know who God is. I want to teach you about who God is. I'm going to teach you how to pray. Coach going to teach you how to bounce a ball. Coach going to show you how to play football. I'm going to teach you how to pray because there's sometimes coming, coach won't be there. They won't be there. Friends won't be there. But God will always be there. But you won't tell it. We don't tell it anymore. And now it's boring, and they don't stay with it, and they leave because look at your passion today. What an indictment against the body of Christ. That 2 Sundays ago, we had a youth service, and we had so many young people laid out across the altar needing prayer, and we have not seen those same children in 2 weeks. Because we only made it important for that day. Because we don't know how to commemorate what God has done. But when you teach it and you live it and you model it in their presence, now they know there is a God. They know he'll make a way. How do you know he'll make a way, mama? Because mama was lost. Mama had to be covered by the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus that gives me strength. The blood of Jesus that washed me as snow. He took my black heart, dipped it in red blood, and now I'm white as snow because of the blood. It reached reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it'll never lose its power. But we don't talk about it. You know why? Because it's not Good Friday. It's not Easter. But here it is now. I need the blood. I need the blood on Monday. I need the blood on Tuesday. I need the blood on Wednesday. I need the blood on Thursday. I need the blood when I'm living right. I need it when I'm not living right. I need it at work. I need it at school. I need it at the store. I need it with my bills. I need it with my sickness. I need the blood. But the blood ain't on your house. In other words, if he's not on your heart, that's why we're suffering. Because God is looking for a people who have gone through the work and put the blood on your house. Stop waiting on God to do something you don't want him to do. If you want him to save you, put the blood on him. You want God to fix that, put the blood on him. God's not looking at your gift. God gave you anointing, so why would he be looking for that? God looking for the blood. Because somebody, the blood of the Lamb that makes God excited, because God gave the Lamb to us to die for our sins. If you need the blood on your house, good God Almighty. Whew. All for Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. All for Jesus. All for Jesus Christ to you. You need the blood on your house. Lord, have mercy. Only reason I'm here today, because the blood makes the difference. I made a decision long ago to make Jesus my choice. And through my mistakes, my problems, my circumstances, I'm not dead because he sees the blood. I've got a solution for the devil, but there is no answer for God. Thanks be to God, because of the blood of Jesus, those who believe are made righteous in God's eyes. You're no longer an enemy of God. You're reconciled by the blood of Jesus, by faith, because you not only saw the blood, but you put the blood over your life. If you need the blood to do some stuff in your home, in your church, in your community, my suggestion, my prescription is the blood of Jesus. It's not meetings. It's not rallies. It's not fighting. It's not killing. It's the blood of Jesus. It had to be a pure lamb, a blameless lamb, a faultless lamb. Oh, there was a lamb some 2,000 years ago that allowed God to kill him. He shed his blood. And even though they pierced his body, they never broke a bone, because the lamb, can I bless you further? Bible says that they told him, don't break bones of the lamb, because you're gonna need to eat from him later. So God did not break bones on Jesus. He just let him die so that we could still eat. Too many of us stop at Jesus saving us, but we don't let him feed us. Bible says don't kill the lamb, because if you break the bones with the lamb, you got to throw it away. Keep the lamb so you can feed from him as well. What a lamb that you can, that'll sacrifice for you and it will still feed you. That's the kind of lamb Jesus is. I offer him to you now. Glory to God. Glory to God. Bless you, God. Yes, Lord. Oh, the blood. Oh, the blood. It will never praise God for his word today. We praise God for his power. We praise him for the blood of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. It's giving time now. And we thank God that he's allowing us this opportunity to give unto him as he's given us so much. And we open the door now for you to give. You may give physically here. You may cash out. $ New Zion 1906, or you may mail in P.O. Box 893. We definitely encourage you and ask you to give unto the Lord. Sow into the kingdom of God. If it's your tithe, pay your tithe what we owe God. Our giving comes from the abundance of gratitude in our heart. For the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. And so we pray today that you will give what is right in the eyesight of God and in your heart. Amen. Amen. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things that he has done. We bless God for this day. Thank you for joining us for this worship encounter. We pray you've been blessed of God. Such a beautiful day. The presence of God is definitely with his people today. And we pray that you will have peace and embrace the peace that God is giving all of you. And we thank you for taking the time out of your schedules to worship with us. We'd like to hear from you, like to pray with you. Inbox us. Let us hear from you. Continue to be connected with you. We're praying with you. We're praying for you. Remember our vision, to reach up, to reach out, and to reach in. May God bless you, and may God keep you. Be blessed. Have a wonderful day.